Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of American Muslim Project. I'm Asad Butt. American Muslim Project is a podcast where we share what's happening in the American Muslim community and also information and interviews about newsmakers in our community. Before we begin, we really wanted to share some awesome news coming from our team here at Rufilion, the company that produces this podcast. As a lot of you know, we've been working on a movie called Ramadan America. It's a feature film, actually comprised of five short films, all about us celebrating during the holiday season. We are putting the finishing touches on it right now, but we are excited to announce that we're actually going to premiere it at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas on March 9th. This is really great news for us to be able to premiere this movie at such a prestigious film festival. We'll have so much more to share with you in the upcoming weeks and months. And if you want to follow along, please look for us on Instagram. You can search for Ramadan_America, or you can visit our website, RamadanAmerica.com. Again, really big news for us, and we're so excited to share it with the world. And now, today on our show, more from other Muslim filmmakers that are changing the world. Our guests today on American Muslim Project are Samia Khan and Akram Shibli. Both are working individually on amazing documentary projects right now that center Muslim people. Both of them actually took part recently in the artist support program at Sundance. You'll remember that that is the initiative by the Islamic Scholarship Fund to nurture Muslim filmmakers and give them financial support, mentoring, and other learning opportunities in the entertainment industry. I asked both Samia and Akram to join American Muslim Project to talk about their experience in that fellowship and so much more. We'll have that conversation up after the break.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Akram, Samia, welcome to American Muslim Project. My first question for you all is, what was it like to be up at Sundance for the week as part of this program?
Oh my God, it was such an incredible trip. It was actually my second time at Sundance. My first time was 5 years ago now, in 2019. I went as a student in grad school, just kind of exploring the program, but I was really, you know, on my own. This time it was a curated experience with, you know, ISF, the Doris Duke Foundation, and, you know, the Sundance Institute, and it truly was special. And I want to say, like, the festival is incredible. It's amazing. But what really made this so special was the cohort, getting to know Samia and the rest of the crew was just everything I needed at this time to be among fellow Muslim storytellers, filmmakers, you know, grappling with today's world. It was incredible.
That's great. Samia, did you feel the same way?
Yes, of course. The cohort made such a huge difference. You know, being able to be with each other, share with each other. I really think about how in our work, we really have to embrace vulnerability a lot to be able to develop our stories and, you know, to do the inner work of being able to craft something creative. It's a spiritual process, a transformative process. So it worked in two ways. One is that we were getting the inspiration from what we were seeing at Sundance and the people that mm-hmm. we were around at Sundance. That was giving us the inspiration. But then ISF provided this container for us to process that inspiration, to be able to talk about what we needed to talk about. So it was really a beautiful experience.
Yeah. I mean, I was just up there for a couple hours and I was just overwhelmed by all the options. And so I can imagine just having someone that curates that for you, then also being very specific about it being, you know, this kind of Muslim specific, you know, experience must have been pretty cool. What can you, like, just maybe a typical day, what did you guys do, especially for someone who's never heard of Sundance or doesn't know what a film festival is all about? Like, what is a typical day in the life, you know, when you're up there on the mountain?
I mean, there's no, I'll start. Akram, please jump in, you know, on whatever point. The typical day for us, it wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't say that it would be typical for anyone because we had such a curated experience.
Sure.
But we really, I mean, ISF was incredible in this way, as were the Artist Accelerator programmers at Sundance. You know, Heinel and Emma were amazing. We would have conversations, very small, intimate conversations, probably in the morning, you know, with programmers, with potential fund supporters at Sundance, other, you know, other festival programmers. We would watch maybe 1 to 2 films a day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, totally.
And it was a great mix of doc and narrative because we had both in our cohort. And then we would have time, you know, maybe a lunch or something to process what we had seen. And then a very special thing about Sundance for us this time were the lodges, which are the affinity houses.
Sure.
We spent quite a bit of time at both the Muslim House, which only happened on Saturday night, and then also South Asia House 1497. Mm-hmm. Both of those spaces were really beautiful places to be able to talk about storytelling within our many multiple overlapping identities. Right. You know, we really talked about how, you know, something that you're doing, Asad, like, how do we create infrastructure to support the kind of stories that we want to tell? If places like Sundance or Tribeca are not getting our work, then, you know, how do we create the distribution, the funding, the support, so that we can just make sure our stories get out there? And for me, that was really that belief that not only we can do it, but we are doing it. You know, 10 years ago at Sundance, this didn't exist. Actually, 3 years ago at Sundance.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, totally. Yeah. These are all new and it's amazing that it's happening, right?
So, and that we had a lot of space also for, I just want to make sure that we were also talking about, you know, our gender. You know, I'm a parent. How do we do storytelling when you're a parent? Like, all of these multiple things were really coming into play as well.
Yeah. Akram, were you, it was a mix of work and fun, and I imagine staying up pretty late over the course of the week.
Yeah, I guess it depended on the day. And, you know, some of us stayed up pretty late. Some of us were coming back at 2, 3 a.m. Others were just like, all right, it's 9 o'clock, time to go home.
That would be me.
It was like, what I liked about our program too is, like, there was a bit of flexibility. I mean, the days were jam packed. Like, sometimes we were like, all right, where are we going to squeeze in lunch? You know, there's a meeting here and then a screening, and the meeting and the screening are happening, like, so close together. But the Sundance Institute folks and, you know, ISF and our hosts in general were like really understanding of, you know, the specific needs that each of us may have had. And when they diverged, you know, like a really great example was there was a, you know, a screening that was taking place at the same time as a march for Palestine. And, sure. you know, collectively we decided like we want to, you know, march and show solidarity. And there was like no issues there. And that to me was also like part of the healing process that this particular experience offered me. It's like, how are we navigating these times as storytellers? Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, in the couple months prior to Sundance, I was feeling quite hopeless. I was like, what is all our art for? You know, if this can continue to happen in the world. And I'm so grateful that I had this opportunity to be reminded that it is meaningful and just to be in solidarity with everyone and to have moments of joy and celebration and, you know, and dance and sing and, you know, chat into the evening and make friends, like all of it. It was like Samia, you said it perfectly, like both dimensions, like the professional and the spiritual were really, you know, coming together that week.
Did you any, like what was your favorite conversation that you had with, you know, someone that might have some power to shape your career? Anything interesting that any takeaways that you want to share with the audience?
You know, there was conversations with investors and movers and shakers, but really the best conversations I think were with the cohort. Like I'm thinking about this conversation we had, you know, at, you know, it was like 10:30 at night. It was with Fatima and Colette. It was one of many conversations. We all had great conversations together, but this one we were talking about like the ego and like what it means to be an artist and really put yourself out there and have the spotlight shine on you, but not let that take you away. And realizing that it's a responsibility and it's actually can be an act of sacrifice to put yourself in that position. It doesn't have to come from a place of ego. And like those were, I think, the game-changing conversations more so than, you know, grateful to all those great meetings that we had, but like that real heart work that we did together is what I'm carrying with me.
Yeah. There is something about knowing that you're not in this alone, you know, fighting this battle with, and you got other people that are down there with you. Somebody, did you feel the same way?
Yes. So much so with the cohort, you know, the conversations that we had. And then I go back to also the conviction that was present and that bolstered me to say, you know, I've been a filmmaker for over 10 years, but I haven't made an independent film myself, you know, and to have the conviction that we are going to tell our stories. Our narratives are not going to be flattened. We're not going to make compromises on what we want to say, and we will find our audiences, and we are finding each other in our audiences. And that, I think that confidence, which was, you know, which came through, it's not even confidence, that solidarity, which we had also at the march and the alliances, that holds you, you know, that holds you. It's lonely out here being creative. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, right.
It was like coming out of the shell.
Take the light of day, is my work ever going to be? And then you have this community, which, you know, inshallah will come together more times. To remind us that there's value, that, you know, this, the work that we do is a service, not just also art, you know, art and service where they meet.
Right. Any feelings of being an imposter while you're up there? I mean, I feel like that's something that for me, when I attend kind of these events, I'm like, wait, you know, I don't know. It's just that those things definitely cross my mind, regardless of where kind of what, whether it's in film or tech or something else, but in any of those feelings.
I mean, you know, I always think about one of the first meetings I had when I was just started out my filmmaking career. I was meeting with somebody, I won't name them, who probably has, I don't know, 30 Emmy nominations, something like that. And he's a veteran in this field in documentary and was like, you know, I'm not a real filmmaker because I didn't go to film school. And just, you know, it just reminds me of how deep this imposter syndrome is.
Sure, it's deep.
It's deep. So many people have it. But I have to say, I felt standing on the shoulders of everyone who had come before us, you know, Aiza and Iman and all of these people who built ISF, really, you know, and that I felt their support behind us and I felt the vision of what we were doing for the future. So in that way, you know, how can you be an imposter?
Yeah. And I'm not saying that you are, just
no,
kind of
no,
I'm
thinking
that it's part of the struggle. It's
right.
It's
right.
It comes with the territory, but I think there was like, it was almost like a smooth landing strip. Like they let us know, like we got you, like you're in this program with us. You're one of the, totally. You know, the artists. So like they, like the, our hosts, like out the gate, like helped us to feel like we belong. And just being with a crew, like such an awesome crew, like Samia's film is incredible. So to be like there with Samia and just like showing up, like even that, like tick that box right out the gate. And I think also like just to be around others who, yeah, maybe are more advanced than you in your career. I'm not going to say better than you, but maybe have taken a few extra steps. Like, I think being in that environment helps level you up too. Because I remember like I came in with a pitch for my documentary, but hearing other people who've done their first and their second and third talk about their projects, I was able to catch on to like, okay, they're presenting the style more so than they're presenting, for instance, some of the very specific aims of the project. And that helps me see it unfold before my eyes. So I think it's so important to be in these spaces, to hear from others and to like kind of pick up little tricks along the way.
100%.
And I think there was a lot of abundance thinking in at least our group.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I know that.
I can't think of the immediate examples. Well, I can think of them in, you know, the leaders, the hosts of the cohort, Aiza and Iman, are also filmmakers, right? So they pretty much in their own mind be like, I got this relationship with Dork Dukes. It's mine.
Yeah.
And we did not have that at all. It was like, where if we're at a reception and I know someone who's in documentary, I'm like, Akram, come meet this person and da-da-da-da-da. And Akram would do the same. And, you know, everyone would, it was very much like there's a pot that's, it's so big. It's not just for one person. It's bigger than our cohort. It's massive. Totally. There's so much out there and we should all share it. We should tell everyone. In fact, we had meetings that were initially only for our group. And we said, let's find all the Muslims at Sundance.
Oh, that's awesome.
So get
them all together.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, we talk a lot about it here at our companies that, you know, for us, a rising tide in this community raises all ships. And, and that's why, you know, like if one of you have a successful film, we know that you'll bring people up, you know, with you. Right. And I think that that's something really special about this Muslim creative community that I've noticed. That it is so collaborative and like people connect, you know, they connect with the, are open with their connections and whatnot. And certainly with our movie project that we're doing, like, forget about it. Without the partnerships or, you know, email introductions, we would never have been able to do what we were doing. So yeah, definitely awesome that you guys felt that. And
it's so important. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up because it's also intentional. Like, it's something we can't take for granted. Like, you know, just because you're Muslim doesn't necessarily mean you come with that mindset. I know Islam pushes us to be, you know, generous and to think in that way, but it was a tone that was set from the beginning with intention. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful it was.
Yeah, that's great. What's next for both of you? Akram, we'll start with you.
There's a lot of work to do. I mean, it feels like a turning point. At the same time, like, it's also like the beginning of a very long and challenging journey, but I'm excited about it. It's no longer, and I think this is just part of that energy that we all gave to each other. It's like, I'm no longer as afraid to like take those steps, shoot those emails out there, take a risk with my project. But I have a feature documentary that's in production, and I feel like, you know, these relationships, inshallah, will lead to some real positive results and moving that project forward. I'm also really excited to get my screenwriting career out the gate. So nice. Alhamdulillah, I mean, just like all good things ahead, you know, and just trying to keep this momentum going and work on myself and work on these relationships and help each other out too, because I also want to see this cohort succeed and thrive. And I want to see their projects on the big screen too.
For sure. Samia?
Absolutely. Yeah. My project is a personal project with a global resonance. So it's been a very challenging, you know, it's very challenging sometimes to sift through the personal and go through the global. And, you know, on top of that, I'm working with my 82-year-old father, mashallah. So that you can just imagine what.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you can just imagine what.
You deserve a special place in heaven for that, right?
Thank you. I would love for Akram to talk about the project, too, because I think it's so important we use these spaces to, you know, share the stories. And my film is really about discovering this one day when I was 9 years old that my father's picture was in the newspaper and he had been named in London as being the head of the world's largest criminal enterprise.
Wow.
We had to flee to Pakistan the next day. And of course, that criminal enterprise, quote unquote, was a bank named BCCI, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, which was the biggest bank from that day to this that was established in the Muslim world and the Arab world, founded by Pakistanis and had become a major player on the global stage, 75 locations, millions of dollars. And, you know, it really, when that bank got shut down, it had been transformative. It had transformed the lives of thousands of Black and Brown Muslims and people around the world. It was the bank for the developing world. And when it was shut down by very, you know, powerful forces of the CIA and the FBI and all kinds of agencies in the United States and the UK, one had to wonder what it was about that bank that posed such a big threat.
For sure.
And that never kind of left me. You know, I saw the tragedies unfold in my own family as the bank and all of the wealth and all of the success disappeared. And then all of the families around us. And, you know, in 2008, when none of the other banks, Citibank, HSBC, that had been laundering hundreds of billions of dollars and no one was jailed, all of the executives of BCCI, many of them were jailed. Some of them died there.
Wow.
You had to wonder about the double standard and who's allowed to play this game.
Yeah.
Who's allowed to play this game? And I think I have a very special opportunity to pay service to this story. In, you know, asking these questions and allowing these men who never had an opportunity to speak on a global stage to tell their piece.
Yeah.
So I, at Sundance, I actually formalized my relationship with an amazing producer who's had Sundance premieres herself and is just a beautiful soul and a really smart person, you know, and make connections that I wouldn't have been able to and get amazing ideas from my cohort on how to tell this very complicated story and, you know, get inspired by the film that Akram is making and that, you know, everyone else is making and really share those ideas too. So what's next is I'm making this movie and you will see it on the big screen.
Yeah. Can't wait to see it. Akram, you want to give us a 30-second spiel on yours?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my film also started from a personal place, but went to something that I did not expect with a huge national impact. For many years, I was documenting the start of a new mosque in Buffalo. If you lived in Buffalo for a little while.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I'm sure you know it's one of the most segregated cities in America. The east side of Buffalo is where the Black community has been pigeonholed and unfortunately has been neglected. There was an abandoned church that was turned into a masjid. So I wanted to explore what would happen over the years, as this, you know, house of worship is revitalized. What I did not see coming is one of the members of the masjid, one of the, you know, volunteer leaders, was assaulted and arrested on live television after protesting police brutality just blocks away from the masjid. And as he was sick to the ground with dogs and they fired tear gas into the street, a young mother who was driving home from a funeral was shot and involved in an accident with a line of officers. But rather than give her the medical treatment she deserved, they immediately incarcerated her without bail. Wow. And this Muslim father, instead of taking the spotlight for himself and advocating for himself, led a citywide campaign for this mother's freedom. They occupied downtown Buffalo, set up camps, and protested for 45 days straight until she was eventually released. And the story continues as we follow her recovery and her journey to Islam. Actually, she ends up becoming Muslim.
Wow.
And she deals with the justice system on many dimensions, on how the media tells her story and misrepresents her, to how the courts and the police and City Hall all coordinated an effort to make her culpable for the accident.
Both of these stories sound fascinating, and I can't wait to watch them and also share it with our audience. Samia Akram, thanks for joining American Muslim Project.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll definitely have links in the show notes about the program and how you can find out more about Samia and Akram's work. That's going to do it for this episode of American Muslim Project. American Muslim Project is a production of Rebellion Media. We'd love to know your thoughts. Email us at info@rebellion.com. Thanks to our guests, of course, Samia Khan and Akram Shibli. Thanks to producer Ari, and thanks to you. Until next time, I'm Asad Butt.